Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And we start today with breaking news in the public corruption trial of former state treasurer Tim Cahill, who was accused of using state money to prop up his failing gubernatorial campaign.
The jury deliberated for 7 days, returned twice, and just an hour ago, Judge Christine Roach declared
that you are now deadlocked on the remaining indictments in this case. That is, on the two indictments against Mr. Cahill. And you are unable to reach a verdict on those two indictments. I therefore declare a mistrial in this case with respect to the two remaining indictments against Mr. Cahill for conspiracy to commit procurement fraud and conspiracy to obtain an unwarranted privilege.
Mistrial. So the question now, will the government retry Timothy Cahill? David Frank is managing editor of Massachusetts Lawyers Weekly and has been following the trial. And David, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
So pretty dramatic day in the courtroom. Describe the reaction of Tim Cahill and his family after Judge Roach declared a mistrial.
Pretty dramatic month, I would say. But certainly when the jury came back with that second note indicating that they were unable to reach a unanimous verdict, the judge had no choice but to declare a mistrial, so I'm sure that Cahill knew what was coming. But it appears to me that it's a combination of relief and exhaustion. Going through a trial, let alone a month-long trial with a seven-day deliberation, is exhausting.
And sure.
So I think it's a combination of exhaustion and relief.
So Cahill and his former chief of staff, Scott Campbell, were accused of spending taxpayer money to prop up Cahill's failed bid for governor. Yesterday, the jury acquitted Campbell. Today, the jury was still deadlocked on Cahill. What's your sense of what went wrong for the government in this case?
Well, I think what went wrong for the government is that the law that they were charging both Cahill and Campbell under is a difficult one. Cahill's the first and only elected official to ever be charged under Chapter 268A, Section 23. It requires prosecutors to prove to a jury beyond a reasonable doubt that Cahill had a fraudulent intent to obtain what's called an unwarranted privilege under the law. It's not easy to say, and it's certainly not easy to understand, and I think jurors had to be struggling with that. But the fact that they came to a decision on Campbell and couldn't do it on Cahill shows that they got it, that they were able to apply the facts of the case to the law. It's just that there was no smoking gun. There was apparently something missing that prevented these 12 people from reaching a unanimous decision.
Yeah, that 2009 law that criminalized what was once simply regarded as unethical conduct, I guess you're dealing with sort of gray areas, so difficult to prove, certainly in this case. So what does Attorney General Martha Coakley do now? She can retry him. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I mean, it's clearly a political and not a legal decision. There is absolutely nothing to stop Martha Coakley from seeking a retrial. There's no double jeopardy problem, as it were. And so I think what's going to happen over the next, I would say, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, certainly before the parties go back to court in early January, is there's going to be some soul searching in Ashburton Place. Martha mm-hmm. Coakley and her staff is going to have to look at the evidence and figure out whether there's something they could do different, figure out whether there's some other way that they might be able to present the case to get a more favorable outcome. I would be totally guessing at this point if I were to tell you this is what she's going to do, this is what she's not going to do. I would venture to guess that Martha Coakley doesn't know exactly what she's going to do as you and I are talking today.
Sure. Well, I understand it is a guessing game. Some have suggested that Attorney General Coakley might have overreached in this case. How does that kind of pressure affect this kind of decision?
Yeah, I don't see that. I mean, I've heard the same conversation you have, and I spent a lot of time at the courthouse during this trial, and that was the overwhelming sentiment in the hallway, so to speak. But this is an attorney general who has been in office for a while. It's you know, Martha Coakley was a DA. She's made tough decisions, and you don't have to look any further than the Big Dig. I mean, she made controversial decisions about charging certain corporations and not charging others. The overreaching, I don't see it. I mean, the legislature passed a law in 2009 that came in response to Sal DeMasi, public corruption cases, Diane Wilkerson, Chuck Turner, what have you. And the law was passed. She looked at the facts, presented it to a grand jury. And, you know, this is the lawyer in me talking, but this is what happens. It's a lot different to charge someone and then go into court and prove it. And what the last month demonstrates is that putting a case together on paper is a lot different than going into court and convincing 12 citizens that someone's guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
David Frank, Managing Editor of Massachusetts Lawyers Weekly, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks.